When you have health insurance, it's easy to forget about your out-of-pocket costs. That can be a lot of money. But are your bills accurate? Well, it's estimated that over 50% of medical bills contain errors. HealthLock can help you. HealthLock technology securely connects with your insurance and flags any overbilling, wrong codes, and fraud. You can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. To date, HealthLock has helped its members save over $130 million. So to save, visit HealthLock.com today. That's HealthLock.com today.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Business. It's all the things that keep this world turning. And behind every one of these companies is a partner helping to keep it all moving. It's why the local flower shop and your favorite pizza joint, the startup in the stadium, hospitals and hotels, banks and restaurants nationwide, all choose the Advanced Network, cybersecurity solutions, and round-the-clock trusted partnership from Comcast Business, the company that powers more businesses than anyone else. Comcast Business, powering possibilities.
Restrictions apply. Call or visit ComcastBusiness.com to learn more.
KFI AM 640. You're listening to the John Cobell Podcast on the iHeartRadio app.
We're on the radio from 1 until 4 after 4 o'clock. John Cobell Show on demand on the iHeart app. Oh, it's time to start up the Moist Line machine, huh? I forgot to mention this today. 877-MOIST-86. Whatever's aggravating you. 877-MOIST-86, or use the TalkBack feature on the iHeartRadio app. You could also follow us online on social media at John Cobell Radio. Today was a big day at the Supreme Court for cities and towns, especially in the western part of the country, governed by the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. They had two decisions in recent years, which made it difficult for some cities and towns to clear out homeless encampments, saying that it was a cruel and unusual punishment to consider homeless people to be committing crimes because they're camping in public, and you had to satisfy a number of requirements if you were going to remove them. Well, finally, these towns and cities were able to appeal these decisions, and it went to the U.S. Supreme Court. Hearings were held today by the justices. And to talk about this, we're going to talk with Jeff Briggs. Now, you may remember Jeff Briggs, co-host of the show a week and a half ago. And he was the attorney who had the highest bid at Chef Bruno's Katarina's Club event, and the prize was co-hosting the show. And we got so much good response from his appearance that, you know, we said, you know, we'll have him on whenever there's like an area in law that he's got some something to say. He worked with a group to force the city and county to clear the encampments here in Los Angeles County. And on behalf of those organizations, he filed amicus briefs with the Supreme Court on this particular case. The shorthand for the cases is Boise and Grants Pass, Boise, Idaho, Grants Pass, Oregon. They're the two cities whose ordinances were taken to court. Let's see what he thinks about today's hearing. Jeff Briggs.
Hey, John. Glad to be back. Thanks for having me.
You're a star. I mean, I don't get the kind of complimentary reaction that you do. Good Lord.
Well, thanks. I just want you to know I can't afford to pay for it again, or I'll have to be a Chef Bruno spaghetti client myself. So,
well, this will be a freebie. You can just do it. You'll work for food here. All right. So tell us, give us an overview of what those ordinances did and why the cities had so much trouble working around them that they had to go to the Supreme Court to try to get relief.
So in a nutshell, the city of Boise had an ordinance that actually would allow people to be sent to jail for camping in public. And in Grant, and the court, the Ninth Circuit said you can't have a criminal penalty for that, as unless you have a shelter bed or some kind of bed available for every single homeless person, you can't enforce it with criminal sanctions, sending someone to jail. Then in Oregon, in Grants Pass, which is a small town in southern Oregon, beautiful place, by the way, they had a civil ordinance that would prohibit sleeping in public spaces, but it was punishable by a citation. Essentially, you get a ticket. Now, eventually, if you got multiple tickets, you could eventually face jail time. And the Ninth Circuit extended the Boise case to say, well, you also can't have civil penalties for trying to enforce laws against public space camping unless you've got a shelter bed for every single homeless person that is out there camping on the street. And that just proved, we've seen the results, because the Boise case was several years ago and Grants Pass was a couple years ago. And of course, since then, we've seen a huge rise in not just homelessness, but encampments, with multiple people camped out in parks and other sidewalk streets and other public spaces.
All right. So talk about the group you're with. You wrote the Alliance, and I know I'm familiar with that, but explain what that is, because you have been fighting this battle in court locally.
I certainly haven't been alone in that. I want to make that clear, but I've been helping out. The Alliance, the LA Alliance for Civil Rights, was an organization put together mostly by business people saying, we've got to do something to actually force the city to take care of the people who are on the street rather than just coddling them and allowing them to continue to be camping out in public spaces. And in addition, I represent a lot of business improvement districts around the city, which are very actively involved in helping provide extra security and extra cleaning, extra trash removal, that kind of thing throughout the city. Those are property owners who tax themselves an extra amount beyond all the exorbitant taxes they're already paying, but they get to control where the money goes, and they set up these business improvement districts to then spend the money on extra trash hauling, extra street cleaning, whatever it takes to keep their areas clean and neat for businesses. So obviously they're tremendously impacted by the failure of cities like Los Angeles to be able to do anything about people who are setting up these large encampments.
So that's
who I represented.
So you filed briefs on their behalf with the Supreme Court for this case.
Right. They're called Friends of the Court briefs. And there's probably over 100 that were filed by, cities, counties, attorney generals all over the place, all filed what they call amicus briefs, Friends of the Court brief, to sort of give the court the opportunity to hear information that is not immediately part of the underlying record in the case that they're hearing.
Okay. Why don't we pause for a second now that we've set up the whole history of this? Because, this history goes back quite a few years. Yeah. When we come back, I assume, how were you able to track the case this morning?
You can log in and hear the oral argument virtually and live at live time.
Yeah, there's an audio stream, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Well, then talk about what you heard when we come back, and tell us if any of the justices seem to be favoring one side or the other there. We're going to continue with Jeff Briggs, attorney, coming up about the big Supreme Court case today, whether cities and towns can control their public land, or if they're still barred from issuing any criminal or civil penalties to the homeless who are in the encampments. That's next.
You're listening to John Cobalt on demand from KFI AM 640.
So today's the day the Supreme Court's going to hear the case which helped cause the a lot of mayhem in the western states, especially here in Los Angeles. And it was the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals who decided that it's cruel and unusual punishment, a violation of the Eighth Amendment, to issue criminal or civil penalties for sleeping and camping in public spaces. And the two cases started in Boise, Idaho, and Grants Pass, Oregon. And today the appeal moved to the Supreme Court. A lot of cities and towns across the country, across this region, the Ninth Circuit, filed complaints and briefs. Among them is Jeff Briggs, and he works with a local group trying to get the city and county to clear the encampments. And he filed a friend of the court brief with the Supreme Court to get these decisions overturned. Let's get Jeff Briggs on, since he listened to the Supreme Court hearing. They have an audio feed. So, Jeff, what did you hear? What stood out to you as both sides debated?
Yeah, the first thing I just want to say is that predicting what the Supreme Court is going to do in a given case based on their questions and comments and oral arguments is about as accurate as Punxsutawney Phil. People try to predict this stuff all the time without a lot of great success. You might have justices sometimes who are just testing the waters with some of their comments and questions. It doesn't necessarily reveal where their thinking is. But since everybody else is going to do it, I'll jump in and guess a little bit as well. I think you have kind of an interest. It's going to be very interesting. I'd love to be behind the scenes to hear how these arguments play out. It's clear to me that at least the three usual liberal justices, Kagan, Sotomayor, and Jackson, are perfectly fine with the Eighth Amendment being used as it has been, and perfectly fine with the Ninth Circuit decision. And so that is not likely to change. There's also, it seems pretty clear that three of the justices, Gorsuch, Alito, and Roberts, are not too happy with the Ninth Circuit and do not think that the Eighth Amendment is the right vehicle for deciding this particular issue, essentially with the view that they're not punishing somebody's status as being homeless. They're punishing the conduct that comes along with being homelessness, which is camping and out in the street. But there's also a few, including Justice Thomas. By the way, this argument went 2 hours, and I believe every single justice asked a question or made a comment, including Thomas, which is unusual, although he has been doing it more recently. He and Barrett and potentially Kavanaugh seem to be hung up a little bit on whether the Eighth Amendment should be used ahead of time before somebody is arrested or fined in order to adjudicate whether their rights have been violated. So here's what I mean by that. In the Grants Pass case, and this is fairly underreported, but one of the most serious problems with the Grants Pass case is that they certified a class action. Now, when you have a class action, that means that you're saying all of these people who are in the affected class, we're not going to individually adjudicate each and every one of their cases. We're going to treat them all as if they're exactly the same. And they can bring this as a class action, and that puts at risk a city who gets something wrong, that puts them on the hook for mass damages and huge attorney's fees. So the class action part of this is that the Eighth Circuit was used in advance, before anybody got arrested, before anybody got fined. These plaintiffs didn't face any consequences. They just said ahead of time, we shouldn't be subject to a citation or to an arrest. And I think these three judges are saying, no, I think we're going to have to analyze each individual situation on a case-by-case basis. So they're going to have to be arrested or fined first, and then we'll look at the courts can look at their individual situation and determine whether they are being prosecuted or fined because they are involuntarily homeless and they have no bed, no other place to go. And that would be a huge win for the cities if they do that. Now, what's interesting about it is that the three liberal justices who are going to see that they're not going to win flat out on the Eighth Amendment, they will probably try to back that and try to have the court essentially punt on this. And so we'll see what happens. But I don't think the court's going to punt.
Okay. So I mean, if that happens the way you laid it out, then cities and towns would be able to remove these people.
But they'd be able to arrest and fine them. Yeah.
Right. But that. But then the homeless could go and seek some sort of appeal in court
on an individual basis,
case by case,
which not everybody is going to do, obviously.
Right.
As it stands right now, if I'm a city, I can't just go out and say I'm going to prohibit people from sleeping on the streets and I'll take my chances in court, because as it stands right now, the Eighth Amendment would allow somebody to file a lawsuit before they've even been arrested, before their own circumstances have been analyzed and looked at all, and say you can't have that ordinance. But they would have to then refine and define their ordinance in such a way that it would be almost impossible to ever enforce. If it goes the other way and the court says we're going to analyze this on an individual basis, case by case, now they still have the Eighth Amendment. It's still intact.
Right.
And so if somebody is able to prove that they are completely they're living and camping on the street because completely involuntarily.
Right. They have no options.
They got no option at all. No, nothing's been offered to them. They have no family. They have no place else they can go. This is truly no option. Then they still have an Eighth Amendment defense in their particular case. But they have to go and adjudicate that. And what's really this is the misconception about all this and the straw men that the liberal side and the advocates for the homeless are pushing here is that, well, the cities just want to arrest and fine people. They really don't. They just want to use this. They want to have it as a tool in their tool belt. They want to be able to get help to the people who really
right.
need and want it.
And you need to have at least in the background coercion in order to force people
to get
the help.
Right.
That has to be implied that, look, we're going to try to help you here, but if you keep saying no over and over again, we can force you. There's going to be consequences.
Exactly. That's exactly right. And they don't have the jail space. They don't have the police time to go out and start just mass arresting people. They're not going to do that. They want to get the people who really need help. They want to have some aspect of coercion to be able to get them to agree to do it or move along.
Yeah.
And if they have the ability to do that, if they can go out and use that in that tool in the tool belt, that's going to take care of a lot of people who really do need help. And then it's going to be much harder for the vagrants who are just there because they can be.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to make it harder for them to hide. And
yeah, the ones who moved to California because they heard it's anything goes in the streets.
Exactly.
All right.
And they're going to find out it doesn't. And it's not anything goes anymore.
Jeff, thank you for coming on. I got to do the news. I really appreciate you laying out your analysis of today's case.
I hope it helped. And,
yes.
And we'll keep our fingers crossed.
All right. Jeff Briggs, and he's an attorney. And he was among those who filed amicus briefs in the Supreme Court case today regarding whether cities and towns in the West, can they force homeless out of the encampments?
You're listening to John Cobalt on demand from KFI AM 640.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year, equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. That's LifeLock.com/iHeart to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Nobody wants to outlive their money, but it happens, especially for women. That's why Gainbridge offers the Parity Flex annuity. It's designed for women's unique retirement needs, with flexible withdrawals to help cover unexpected expenses, plus a guaranteed lifetime income benefit that keeps paying you even if your account balance is zero. In other words, it's like getting a paycheck for life. We'll say that again. A paycheck for life. Guaranteed. Sounds too good to be true? It's not. It's the Parity Flex annuity. And it's one more example of their commitment to creating a better financial future for women. One where they feel empowered, not excluded, and ready to take on whatever their next chapter holds. Gainbridge believes financial flexibility and security are things we all could use more of. At retirement income you can't outlive is the ultimate flex. Who's with us? Start saving now at Gainbridge.io. Please visit Gainbridge.io/ParityFlex for current rates, full product disclosures and disclaimers, and other important information.
So I'm going to put out a warning. If you're sensitive, there's going to be some sexual discussion here. not exactly sexual discussion, but body part analysis.
Should I go away?
Oh, no, you're going to want to stay for this. Oh. You remember we had some creepy gynecologists at USC and UCLA.
Yeah.
That had a long history of sexually abusing young college women. Also, you had Larry Nassar, who not only was sexually abusing members of the U.S. Olympic gymnastics team, but he was also, what was that, Michigan, University of Michigan or Michigan State? I forget which one he worked at there, but that was three prominent schools, and the women's gymnastics team hit by these disgusting perverts disguised as gynecologists. Well, we have another one of these characters, slightly different, but there is the Harbor UCLA Medical Center. That's a public hospital, and one of its highest ranking doctors has been fired. And his name is Dr. Louis Kwong. And they said he would regularly gawk at the genitalia of anesthetized patients.
Oh, my God.
And in addition, he also had some side corruption going on. He was getting paid by a medical device company. He used those products on patients, didn't disclose. But that's not that interesting. The interesting stuff is he had a running commentary as he operated on the patients. He liked to look under the surgical covers of black males who were under anesthesia, and would discuss the genitals of the day.
The genitals of the
genitals
day?
Genitals of the day. I guess, you know, you have surgeons have a number of patients on surgery day.
Okay, yeah.
Let's say it's a Wednesday, right?
All right.
You're doctors, right? Yeah. Wednesday, they're never available. That's they're in surgery. Well, so you might, I don't know, maybe 3, 4, 5. And then whoever the standout is gets the genitals of the day designation.
What kind of award do they get?
Well, it's interesting you say that. Kwong, while he's doing surgery, also discussed his favorite sex positions and his preference for autoerotic asphyxiation, which, if you don't know, it's being choked or strangled during sex to allegedly heighten the orgasm. I wouldn't know.
Thanks for sharing that.
I don't hear you saying I wouldn't know.
I wouldn't know.
You wouldn't
either.
Know. Okay. All right. He also would carry a gun in the operating room. He's a volunteer deputy sheriff.
Wait, what?
He would bring his gun in the operating room. I mean, his real gun. It's, that's not a euphemism for anything.
It's, okay, so is somebody recording this, or is he recording this?
I don't know. This went on for a long time, and eventually it took a lot of years to finally get him fired. He also would bring a knife into the operating room, and not the knife that he would use for the surgery.
And what did he do with that knife?
It was on him. He had a gun and a knife with him all the time.
In case the patient woke up and fought him?
Turns out that Kwong's secretary complained more than 10 years ago that Kwong would remark on the grooming of anesthetized patient's pubic hair. This was going back to at least 2016, but the hospital didn't start their investigation until 2021. And when they then put him on paid leave, all right, he's been on paid leave since 2021, and they paid him more than $1 million without working. That's the county government. In 2023, he did not work a single day, and he was the 8th highest paid county employee.
Okay, that's ridiculous.
Isn't it?
I mean, I don't even know what to say.
There's nothing to say. The thing is, all the county supervisors know about this. All the hospital officials know about this. And nobody cares. Harbor UCLA treats mostly poor patients and uninsured patients in the South Bay. It's a teaching hospital, and he's the chairman of the orthopedics department. So he wasn't even working on genitalia. That was.
I shouldn't be laughing, but of course he wasn't.
You've been laughing at a lot of inappropriate stuff.
I know. Well, this show is inappropriate.
Did you miss us when you were in the middle of the Indian Ocean there?
Terrible.
You don't get entertainment like this in the Maldives.
No.
No, those people would be in prison. Sometimes I think about what countries, if we were working in, we'd be in prison.
Oh, you would never be able to talk about this on a Dubai radio station.
That's right.
You would be in a locked cell
in
Dubai.
Yes.
And I would have to send you bail bondsman phone numbers.
I think they would take my head off. Anyway, he said he created an unprofessional and toxic work environment. Yeah, you think? let's see. We got a little more here. According to Kwong's discharge notice, okay, his firing papers, 3 people told investigators that he referred to black patients as BAP, which stood for Black Angry Patients. And, well, I can't even read what this is. Let's just say he engaged in racial slurs and terrible stereotypes. Ugh. But they said he was fixated on the genitalia of patients. They had an end-of-the-year roast, and male genitalia were shown at an annual end-of-the-year event. So that's...
So other people saw?
Yeah, right. It was an end-of-the-year roast. This is all in the LA Times. I'm not making up a single word here. And he used to comment that certain female residents liked it on top. A technician told the surgical team to check out an anesthetized patient's penis because it was very large. Kwong would discuss whether a patient was a grower or a shower.
Wait, a grower or a shower? I don't even know what that means. Maybe I'm ignorant because Eric's giving me a weird look, but...
Well, some men are growers and some men are showers.
It is what it says it is.
Okay. That's exactly what it is.
Okay. I feel like I'm missing something, but okay. Forget it. We don't need to talk about it anymore.
He would also comment on the fat rolls of female patients.
Oh, what a nice guy.
Yeah.
Okay, I have an idea.
What?
Let's strip this guy down and let's do a commentary on his entire body.
I want my $1 million back.
and that too.
$1 million.
That's obscene.
To not work. And they knew about this. They knew about this for 8 years. And he just got fired. 8 years. There you go.
Wow.
Good work. All right.
You're listening to John Cobalt on demand from KFI AM 640.
Okay, this is one of those everyday stories. This is the real world consequences of having millions of illegal aliens come over the border, right? That seems so abstract. It's just cold numbers. But what's the reality in certain communities to have this huge influx of lawlessness? Well, East Harlem, high school soccer game, public field, and it actually was a travel team made up of 17-year-old boys. The team is called the Manhattan Kickers, and they showed up at the soccer field and found that a group of illegal aliens were already there, and they weren't going to leave the field. The coach, Eric Johansson, said, "I directly asked them to leave, and some of them thought about it, but then four or five of them said, you know, F it. We don't have to leave. We can do whatever we want." There were 40 boys from two teams. These are legitimate teams made up of Americans. And they showed up Sunday evening at Thomas Jefferson Park in East Harlem, 5 o'clock match. It was the Kickers and FA Euro, New York. But American kids. But on the field were 30 men who appeared to be African migrants, spoke little English, and they wouldn't leave. To try to resolve the conflict, the cops that showed up wanted to see a copy of the club team's city permit. He didn't ask the African migrants to show a permit, but he asked the city team to show a permit. They didn't have it on them because, as Johansson said, when two teams show up in uniform with a referee and two coaches, usually nobody is asking to see your permit. And by time Johansson's assistant could forward a copy, the game had been delayed 30 minutes. And by then, the two American teams didn't feel safe. Because Johansson said, even when the game is over, you don't know if they're waiting for you. So even if the cops kick them out, it may not be over. And they decided, both teams decided, this is too dangerous. Parents told them they were rattled by the incident and they don't want to play at the field anymore. Of course, there aren't too many available fields in East Harlem. Field space is limited. But the migrants won that one. Police wouldn't enforce the law. Nobody does. Conway's here.
We've got some heavy news today, John. I know Monday is supposed to be light, but there's a sheriff's deputy that's been, they're swarming a neighborhood in West Covina following a shooting that apparently targeted a motorcycle deputy in the area. So we'll talk about that. Also, I'm locking you out of Flint Ridge. A school is on lockdown because of a lunatic there. So those are the two heavy stories. But if you notice today, there's not a lot of people out on the road. I don't know what's going on.
Maybe we'll I did notice that this morning.
Isn't that wild? Yeah. I think it's a combination of Coachella, Jewish holiday, and I don't know. It's spring. I don't know what that means. But there's nobody out on the...
I like when you analyze the calendar. It's one of my favorite parts of the show.
But nobody's out there.
How does the calendar affect traffic?
Although, you know, maybe it's a post 420 hangover, too. Mm-hmm. Yesterday was 420. How'd you celebrate 420?
Wasn't aware of it.
You didn't take a big ripper?
I never do.
No? You didn't break out Deborah Colbelt's 6-foot glass bong?
Yeah, that's what we do at my house. Sit around the kitchen table, sucking on bongs.
You put her up on your shoulders, and she hits that 6-footer.
She loves that, yeah.
Yeah. Dragonfly, what'd you get? Kush.
You think I know this stuff?
I don't know. Eric, you know all the weeds or crozier. What are some of the popular weeds? White Widow, Kush.
So far, you're the only one who knows.
Blowhard. Tie stick, dime bag.
Sound like you're doing pretty well there.
Yeah. I
don't Lid.
You don't need any help from them.
Seedless. They sell seedless? I don't know.
This is what you do all day.
Shake, Mexican shake. Remember that weed when you were a kid? Buy a dime bag of that crap. Don't even get you buzzed. All right, so whatever.
Okay.
You know, ding dong.
All right.
We're here.
Crozier's got the news. Live in the 24-hour KFI newsroom.
Hey, you've been listening to the John Cobalt Show podcast. You can always hear the show live on KFI AM 640 from 1 to 4 p.m. every Monday through Friday. And, of course, anytime on demand on the iHeartRadio app.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Nobody wants to outlive their money, but it happens, especially for women. That's why Gainbridge offers the Parity Flex annuity, designed for women's unique retirement needs, with flexible withdrawals plus a guaranteed lifetime income benefit that keeps paying you even if your account balance is zero. Gainbridge is helping build a better financial future for women. Retirement income you can't outlive is the ultimate flex. Start saving now at Gainbridge.io. Visit Gainbridge.io/ParityFlex for current rates, full product disclosures and disclaimers, and other important information.
This message comes from Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, destination-focused dining, and cultural enrichment on board and on shore. And every Viking voyage is all-inclusive, with no children and no casinos. Discover more at Viking.com.